The gospel reading today is Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Verse 13 of Luke's gospel, chapter 24. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning, and they didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had said. They didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scripture for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Scholars have struggled to identify and pinpoint the historical site of Emmaus. Luke's narrative tells us only that it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That might disturb some detail-oriented types who would like to determine the precise location of that village. I, however, like the poetic mystery of not knowing. It allows me to see the Emmaus Road as any road between here and there, between me and whatever it is I'm trying to leave behind as I head for safety of home. Emmaus Road is free to represent the path by which we hope to return to life as we had known it before a sudden or unfortunate turn of events. The disciples from Emmaus didn't need Twitter or Facebook. They didn't need 24-hour news feeds. The word got around. It was news that penetrated deeply into the core of all who heard it. It went beyond affecting their demeanor, causing them to look sad, or even to feel the despair of hopelessness. The cross was something that they felt in their bones. This was a core event that had the power to define them and to define their lives. Nothing could ever go back to the way it had been. It was one of those things that you just couldn't get out of your mind. It was the first thing that you thought about when you opened your eyes on yet another day beneath the shadow of tragedy. It was the last thing on your mind when you closed your eyes at night, if you dared to close your eyes. It was an image that seemed to be burned into the inside of their eyelids, the ever-present lens through which life would forever be viewed. Cleopas and his companion were trapped at the epicenter, Jerusalem. Constrained by holiness laws, they couldn't walk the 7 miles back home on the Sabbath at the end of what had started as a Passover pilgrimage. On the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, they were free to move about to finally get out of Jerusalem. Maybe if they could just put some distance between the events of the crucifixion and themselves, it would be easier to forget about it. Maybe the news would fade in the rearview mirror as they headed back home. They set out, saying, "Take me home, Emmaus Road." But this was something that would reach beyond the walls of the city of Jerusalem. The shadow of the cross followed them. Try as they might, they just couldn't stop thinking about it. They couldn't stop talking about it, trying to make sense out of it. It was all anyone was talking about. It was an all-encompassing event, a pervasive, penetrating presence. The gospel reading today seems like a page out of a self-help book. What to do when disappointment sets in? How to cope when all you had hoped for goes up in smoke or into a rock-cold tomb? Cleopas and his friend are doing what experts continue to tell us to do in such devastating moments. Talk it out. Better yet, walk it out. Together they walked and they talked about all they had hoped they had found in Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They shared their story openly with the stranger they met on the road. They tended to their physical needs, eating when their appetites may have been precluded by grief. They nurtured their faith, faith that had been shaken to its very core by listening as the stranger in their midst began with Moses and all the prophets and interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Their mood shifted once they were accompanied by the stranger. I wonder exactly where it was that their despair began to give way to peace. I wonder if the pace of their step slowed with reflection, or did hope begin to hasten their step as they traveled together? The master was probably reading and assessing the spiritual and emotional state of his listeners based on his careful observance of these important indicators, adjusting the tempo and the elaboration of his teaching accordingly. While so much is left to our imagination, the narrative of Luke's gospel offers us a few details about the content of the conversation. Now, verse 25 has always been interesting to me as a strange way to engage your audience. Nothing gets people's attention like calling them foolish. Now that Jesus has their attention, it's time for one of those questions he liked to drop that led to fuller engagement. Wasn't it necessary for Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? Then it was time for the master to go to work. Beginning with Moses and with all of the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Stuff they already knew. Stuff they had heard since they were on their mama's knee. Stuff they had heard over and over in Sabbath school and confirmation class. But they hadn't thought about how those things applied to life. What did that stuff have to do with what they were dealing with now? This is a very important point for us on our Emmaus Road journey. Whenever we find ourselves trying to escape the agony of where we are, where we've been, trying to find a place of solace, it is a good time to revisit stories of our faith, things we already know, things we might have either long since forgotten or never thought about applying to real life. Things that have been lost to our recognition because of the distracting news and the fears of the day. Things that we had never imagined could become our Emmaus Road. That could take us home. They were engaged in good self-care. They were actively processing their grief in ways that continue to be advocated in grief recovery groups still today. Yet, while they were engaged in these meaningful and healing processes, they were still missing something. Somehow, they didn't immediately recognize that Jesus was part of their conversation and the present companion with them on their way. Only after Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them did they realize this is the risen Lord. I wonder what it was about that that opened their eyes. Did they notice nail prints in those hands? Was there maybe some unique way in which Jesus broke the bread, a mannerism that perhaps they had witnessed before? Maybe they had been given bread by those same hands in the same way on a grassy hill with 5,000 of their closest friends. Maybe Jesus just couldn't help himself, and as he handed Cleopas the bread, he might have said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Whatever it was, for the first time they realized Jesus had been with them all the way. How could they not have noticed sooner? "Now that I think about it," Cleopas said, "didn't our hearts burn within us while he was with us?" It is still true that we often recognize the presence of the risen Christ has been with us only when our Emmaus Road has finally taken us home. When we get caught up in the desires to be anywhere but here, the longing to just be back home, we fail to recognize the risen Christ as our companion along the way. We can't hear anything above our own desperate cry, "Take me home, Emmaus Road." The invitation today is that we pause along our Emmaus Road, that we take time to look at the activities, ordinary activities, walking together, eating together, learning together, worshiping together, activities that busy our hands and minds. We need to take time to look more deeply into the ordinary faces of our traveling companions. Along with Cleopas, we need to feel the burn as we realize the risen Lord has been with us every step of the way on our journey home. Once the clarity of recognition set in, Cleopas and his companion turned around and went right back to Jerusalem. They recognized that Christ was alive and it was he who had been walking with them. The stories of their faith now all made sense. They no longer needed to leave their faith or the reality of life in the rearview mirror. When they set the overwhelming challenges of their day into the greater context of faith, compassion called them to proclaim the message of hope to those whose vulnerability could not be forgotten, those who were still where they had been when they had left Jerusalem. The call of the sermon today is to take a minute to gain a sense of clarity that assures us that the risen Christ is with us, and he walks with us, that he is our constant companion on our road back home. With Easter's message comes a presence to sustain our journey, a peace to endure life's challenging realities, and a compassion that seeks not its own. Amen.